All right, let's turn to Proverbs 26 here tonight. Proverbs 26. Just have one verse for you. I'd read this one for a long time, never thought too much about it till the other day. Proverbs 26, verse 8. Proverbs 26, verse 8. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, thank you for the light you shed on the Bible. We pray that you might help us to be able to take this and use it in our lives. We're grateful for your goodness to us and mercy. We also thank you, Father, for hard truths sometimes that are incisive and cut deeper than normal. But, Father, we pray you'd help us to be able to apply these things to our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, well, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Now, you know, that doesn't sound all that serious. After all, a sling is just a pouch and some rawhide strings, and there's a stone in it. So some guy comes along, puts a stone in that sling, leaves it sitting on the table. Doesn't sound like too big a deal, right? Well, you know, one thing to remember about that is how good David was with a sling. In the hands of David, somebody that knows what he's doing, a sling could be a very dangerous thing. He killed Goliath with one, right? In the hands of one of those 700 Benjamites that could sling a stone left-handed at a hair's breadth, that sling that's loaded is a pretty dangerous thing. Now, you say, well, I'm not scared of a sling. I couldn't hit anything with it anyway. Well, you probably could, and I couldn't either. But just think about this for a second. That was 1,000 or so A.D., right? Now, think about the idea of what that would be in today's world. I'll tell you what it would be in today's world. It would be a loaded, cocked revolver. Now, in case you're not up on your firearms safety rules and all that stuff, a .357 Magnum revolver is not a good thing to leave lying around loaded and cocked. One of those big .45 cowboy pistols is not the best thing in the world to leave around on a kitchen table loaded and cocked, where the kids can play with it or whoever else can come along, right? Try one of those big .44 Magnums revolvers. Not a good thing to leave laying around cocked, right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, what you're saying then is that the pistol is more dangerous than the sling. Do you think that a fool today is more dangerous than a fool then? Let me put a couple things to you, and maybe it is. For instance, the average fool today has the option of going and getting in a car, driving down the road about 90 miles an hour, doped up, boozed up, whatever else up, right? I'd seriously doubt anybody in 1000 B.C. Did I say 80 while ago? I doubt anybody in 1000 B.C. ever went 85 miles an hour. Think about that. Think about the idea that the average fool today can get on a jet and fly from New York to London in about 8 hours. The average fool today has a computer. He can email. He can blog. He can text. He can tweet. Now, that one's always been a little weird for me. Big old burly guy say, I tweet. Yeah, pal, you sure are. You know, they can tweet, they can blog, they can text, they can surf, and don't forget, they can Facebook. Whoa. That holy grail, Facebook, right? They can Facebook, they can sell online, they can buy online, they can read all kinds of garbage online, they can watch all kinds of things online. A fool can have a credit card. He has a cell phone. He has dope. He has booze. He probably has a lot more leisure time than the average fool back in 1000 B.C. All I'm saying is that just may be that the fool in 2010 America cuts a far wider swath than the average fool in 1000 B.C. So, I want to preach to you tonight about a cocked pistol. In verse 6 it says, verse 8. He that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Now that's a loaded sling. I want to talk to you tonight about a cocked pistol. The text says there that somebody who walks up and gives, well, to explain what this is, and gives honor to a fool is like somebody loading a sling so somebody that knows what he's doing can come by, or some mischievous little kid can come by and break up something, break a window, hurt somebody or hurt himself, right? Well, we're going to upgrade this. We're going to talk about a cocked pistol. We're talking about somebody giving honor to a fool is like somebody coming along, loading a 44 Magnum, cocking it, and leaving it laying around on the table. Look real quick in Proverbs 26:1, and you will note, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. So it says there in verse 8, he that bindeth a stone in a sling is he that giveth honor to a fool. So I want to say, I want to talk for a while about a cocked pistol. All right, first of all, just an observation. Four or five observations here, then I'll be done. All right, first of all, honor is often given to fools. Honor is often given to fools. Now look, folks, some folks deserve honor, right? Honor God. Peter says, honor the king. Honor thy mother and thy father. Honor widows that are widows indeed, right? Honor an elder that labors in the word and doctrine. In fact, give him double honor, says 1 Timothy, right? When Moses is ready to turn over the leadership of Israel to Joshua, the Lord said, Moses, go and take some of your honor and put it on him, right? So some folks are deserving of honor, but not a fool. You walk by and you give a fool honor, and you're doing the same thing as loading and cocking a pistol and laying it down on the table. Think about Balaam for a second. Remember Numbers 22, Balaam. Balak sends off for Balaam to come down and curse Israel for the king of Moab there. And Balaam goes down there. One of the things that's said there over and over again is at first, Balaam refused to go, right? Remember that? But it said in the next sentence, in the next verse, it said that what Balak did was send messengers back to Balaam. These messengers were more honorable than the first. So Balak sends back, this time he sends the prime minister and a couple of senators and a secretary of state or something, and offers this guy a blank check, right? Says, you can write this check out for anything you want. I'll give you anything you want. Just come and curse Israel for me. Now, folks, Balaam was a fool. Would you agree? He was a fool. He was willing to play around with the Word of God. But I want you to know, with the honor that four or five times that Balak said he offered him, and with the blank check he said he offered him, I want you to know that Balaam was a cocked pistol. Bible says there, it says, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Now, sometimes we're talking about prophets here for a second. Sometimes I want you to know that pastors, so-called quote-unquote men of God these days, are given honor they do not deserve, they have not earned. Sometimes that honor is money. Sometimes that honor is a real big ministry. That's why the Bible says that about novices. It says that you've got to make sure your bishop is not a novice so he doesn't fall into the condemnation of the devil. Right? So many a pastor these days is paid too much, has way too much on his plate, is in over his head, just like the president of these United States. He is a fool that's been given honor. Now, I'll tell you what he is. He's a loaded pistol. All right? Look in Proverbs 15:33 while we're nearby here. Proverbs 15:33. There's a couple of three applications I'd like you to see real plain. 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So, can we say then without much arguing that a proud man is like somebody that's been given honor that he doesn't deserve? Because before honor is humility, right? So, you know, you stop and think what you just did here the last month or so. Sent a bunch of new guys to Washington. All these guys running around in Washington, D.C. as senators and all these things. I want to ask you where the humility is for these Washington politicians. You ever think about that? I mean, these guys get thrown into the mix. They are given limousines. They're given staff. They're given all kinds of food. They're at cocktail parties day and night, right and left. They're on TV all the time, CNN, Fox, all those things. They're in the spotlight. I wonder if they really deserve the honor that they get. And if they don't, if there is no humility, first of all, I want you to know that whoever gives them honor, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, whoever, whoever gives them honor is basically loading a pistol, cocking it, and laying it on the table. Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to come along and use that pistol, right? I wonder when you stop and think about these 23-year-old phenom athletes, right, that are getting paid about $5 million a year, and they have their entourage of girls following them around, a little harem of their own, and all those things that go with it, all the fame, all the fortune, all the spotlight. Anytime, you know, anytime they want an interview with the media jumps too because they can get in the spotlight anytime because they're a star, right? Well, the Bible says you load a sling with a guy like that if you give him honor and he doesn't have humility first. Talking about tonight, I'm talking about a loaded pistol. I want to give you a couple more examples of this. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2 and John 5 real quick. 2 Timothy 2 and John 5. And I am talking about the fact right now that honor is very often given to fools these days. 2 Timothy 2. Now, we've been to this passage before many times, I know. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. In other words, there are some vessels you carry milk in. There is some vessels that you carry, you know, they're the chamber pot that you carry other things in. Right? The vessel of honor, the vessel of dishonor. Now, verse 21. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these. That is, if a vessel will purge himself of the vessels of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. I want to say, first of all, with regard to this thing, that I don't know if you realize this sometimes, and I've said many times that I think sometimes adults are just as bad about their friendships as kids are, as teenagers are. But did you ever stop to think? Now, I know you know you're nothing. And I know that you don't want to turn somebody's friendship down because it might seem that you're being uppity or condescending or whatever. But did you ever stop to think that that the companions of fools shall be destroyed? Right? Did you ever stop to think that friendship is an honor? Did you ever stop to think that if you are an honorable vessel to Jesus Christ, there are other folks that you cannot be close to as friends and stay pure and stay the honorable vessel? Look, the Bible says there that if you give honor to a fool, it's just like you loading a sling. That's a loaded sling. In today's modern vernacular, that would be a cocked pistol. And I want you to know, folks, that by honoring some of the friends that some folks are tend to kind of accumulate to themselves, you give them what? You give them your loyalty. That's what friendship is, right? You want to be loyal to your friend. So they don't deserve your loyalty because they're a creep. But you don't want to seem condescending or uppity or over pious or anything. So you become their friend. You confide in them. You take confidence in them. You entrust them with your secrets, right? You're loyal to them. You're company with them, and you're a companion of them. And I want you to know, in many cases, they don't deserve it. What you've done is loaded a pistol because you've given them honor they don't deserve. Friendship is an honor. I'm honored to be many of you guys' friends. I count it an honor, right? But you know what? If I was a dirtbag, you shouldn't count me being your friend an honor, right? I mean, if I was a crook, if I lied to you all the time, if I cheated you out of your money, and if I took your stuff out of your garage and stole it and sold it at a pawn shop, I don't deserve to be your friend, right? And the point is, if you allow friendships like that in your life to continue to exist, I'm not talking about trying to help somebody that needs help. If you allow somebody to use you like that, you are loading a pistol and cocking it. Now, there's another application here I'd like you to see. Look in John 5. John chapter 5. And again, quite a famous passage that we've all talked about many times. John 5, 44. Jesus Christ talking to the scribes and Pharisees. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, you know what that is? That is peer pressure right there. That is two people or a group of people receiving honor one from another to the extent they are so concerned about how they are conceived among that group and apprehended of that group, they don't care what God thinks. They don't care what Christ thinks. They don't care about anything. They receive honor one of another. That's all they care about. And you know what that is? That's peer pressure. You know, that works in a lot of ways in a lot of places. Did you know there are scholars that are trained to change your Bible? And they're trained to do that because they have been trained by other scholars to do that. And they are so afraid of bucking the system and of being outcast by their little circle of scholars, they don't care what God thinks. Now look, folks, when you give somebody that kind of honor, I want you to know you're cocking a pistol and laying it on the table for somebody else to come by and pick up. Now, there is another very important thing I want to show you here. Look in 1 Samuel, and then the rest of this will go a little quicker. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm talking right now about honor is very often given to fools these days. And our text, back in Proverbs 26, verse 8, says that as a man who binds a stone in a sling, so is the man that giveth honor to a fool. Now, look in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2, verse 29. Now, these are Eli's sons. This is what is said of those guys. This is God's prophecy to Eli, who allowed his sons to slip out from under him, and they were no longer what they should be. Verse 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, and make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." You know what those sons were doing, don't you? Those sons were committing adultery with the women that came to the temple to do sacrifice. These sons were doing outrageous things with the offerings, the holy offerings brought to the temple. Now, the idea, ladies and gentlemen, here is that the Lord told us, Eli, He said, "Look, you're honoring your sons above me." I want you to know that is rampant. I'm not saying it's rampant here, but I want you to be warned of it, right? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, right? So if you give your child too much honor, you're giving a fool honor. You're loading a pistol, cocking it, and leaving it on the table. Think about it. You know, without intending to, I know that there are parents that fall into it. I've often said, Brother Grissom and I have talked about it many times, and other pastors and I have talked about it many times. You know, I was told by an old pastor once that you're likely to have folks leave your church when people's kids start growing up and becoming teenagers. And there's a reason because of that. There's a reason for that. That is, the parents are intimidated by the kids, right? Sometimes parents are more intimidated by teen years than the teenagers are. And, you know, one of the things about all that is that sometimes without intending to, parents grow into the habit of defending their kids against whoever, no matter what. I have known parents to defend their kids against their teachers, their Sunday school teachers, their youth pastor, and whoever else was in authority over those kids. That kid was pandered to. Anytime the kid came to mama and told a story, that story was right. And if that kid went and told mama that Jimmy Joe threw dirt in my face, mama went and got Jimmy Joe's mama, and Jimmy Joe was taken to the woodshed. Now, never mind that what really happened was that this woman's kid kicked Jimmy Joe before Jimmy Joe ever threw any dirt in his face, right? Never mind any of that. I want you to know, do you remember when I say Nellie Olson. Does that mean anything to most people? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, seriously. In all seriousness, there are parents, I don't mean here, there are parents, though, and what's something to watch for as you grow your kids up all the way from this high to, this high all the way to this high, is that kids learn how to manipulate their parents. Now, you know what? That doesn't mean they're overly wicked in the sense that they're more wicked than somebody else's kids. You do the same thing if you're not careful. If you're not careful, when something comes up, you will skew a story in your favor as an adult just a little bit so you don't look bad. Now, folks, kids do that too. And sometimes when parents are not wise and prudent, they allow their kids to manipulate them in that way so that the kid comes and tells a story. Well, that story's right. That story's the gospel no matter what. Right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you do that, you're giving honor to a fool. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, don't misunderstand, folks. Love your kids, cherish your kids, nourish your kids, train your kids, right? Love your children, but just don't load them and cock them. Right? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I want you to know that somebody that comes along and gives honor that's not deserved to a fool, they're doing the same thing as loading a pistol, cocking it, and laying it on a table for somebody to come along and pick up. Second thing I wanted to say here tonight, I've just gotten through talking about how honor is often given to fools. And among those, many times, are children. I'm talking about kids this high. I'm talking about kids this high, too. Right? It's not just teenagers. Sometimes it's two-year-olds. Sometimes I've seen mama bears go after other two-year-olds because their two-year-old got run over in the hallway by somebody that was innocently, doing something or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You've got to be careful about being overprotective. You've got to be careful about giving honor and esteeming that your kid is right no matter what. You're giving honor to a fool. You're loading a pistol, cocking it, leaving it on the table. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. Look in Proverbs 26 again. 26:8, we'll return to our text. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Now, the modern vernacular, that would be a cocked pistol. I want you to see, second of all, not only that honor is often given to fools, but I want you to know that honor is a coveted prize for fools. The fact of the matter is, honor is a coveted prize for anybody, right? But honor is a coveted prize for fools. You know, Balaam was honored by the fact that the king of Moab sent for him to do this deed. He was honored by the representation that was sent with him. He was honored by the ambassador. I mean, the Secretary of State was there. The Prime Minister was there. Two senators were there. It was a wonderful group of guys that the king of Moab sent to me to get me to prophesy against Israel. And besides that, he gave me a blank check. What an honor. What an honor to be entrusted with such a thing as this from the king of Moab. Fact of the matter is, though, that Balaam was a fool. He became a loaded pistol, right? You know, a dirtbag politician is honored by the opportunity to serve the great state of right? I mean, you've seen some of the folks and know something of the character of some of the folks in Washington, right? Some of those folks will talk about the honor of serving the people of the great state of whatever state it is. What they mean is they've been given a lot of power, they've been given a spotlight, they've been given a staff, they've been given a limousine, they've been given lobbyists' money. What it means is they've been given a lot of power, a lot of honor. I want you to know that guy, that lady, I could name a couple, they are loaded pistols. They are fools, been given honor that they do not deserve. Right? Here is this slimy, dirty, filthy super athlete, right? He has his own little harem, his own little entourage of girls that follows him around. He can do what he wants to with the police because the police are afraid to write him a ticket, all those things. He's been given too much honor. But he likes that honor. Boy, it is nice to be able to call the press and say, click like that, and they're there snapping pictures, right? You think movie stars don't like cameras? Movie stars do like cameras. That puts them on the spotlight, puts them on the stage. That is an honor. I want you to know you give those people that kind of honor, that kind of spotlight, that kind of fame, that kind of glory. You're loading a pistol. And you're cocking the pistol. Here's this creepy, agnostic, heretic, apostate scholar who's been given license by you and me, if you're not careful, because he has Greek knowledge and I don't. We give him the opportunity to teach our kids at a seminary and talk them out of their Bibles. We give him the honor of teaching our kids heresy and changing the Bible so that they come out of school, they come out of Bible school with less faith than they went in. You have loaded a pistol, cocked it, and left it on the table. I'm talking about a cocked pistol tonight. Now look, folks, honor is a coveted prize for fools. It is a coveted prize because everybody likes a parade, especially if they're the center of the parade. Everybody likes the glory. Everybody likes to be in the center of the spotlight, given that. If there's any confetti to be thrown, I'd like to be under the confetti. I would like it to be in my honor, right? That's why before honor is humility. That's the way it's supposed to work, right? Before honor is humility. Now, folks, I know many a preacher that has been ruined by his fellowship with other preachers. Sometimes they get placed under the wing of some other considered great preacher or whatever, and that preacher ruins the other preacher. I've known preachers to go into churches where first thing that happens is the guy that has the money in the church, the rich deacon or the rich elder, comes along, takes him under his wing to make sure that he's in line with exactly what we're trying to do here. Right? Now, folks, there's just lots of scenarios about this, but I want you to know your kids are that way as well. Your kids love honor as well. Your kids love your attention. Come on, think Nellie Olson here. What always happened with Nellie Olson? Mama always laid it out for her boy, didn't she? She defended old Nellie no matter what. No matter what happened, poor little Laura was always wrong, and Nellie was always right. Mama was always looking out for Nellie. Think Nellie Olson with this. You're talking about a pistol that's loaded and cocked. Now, folks, if you give somebody an over amount of attention, an over amount of doting, publicity, the spotlight, flattery, undeserved credit, undeserved fame, publicity, those sort of things, you are loading a pistol, cocking it, and laying it on a table for somebody to use. Be complimentary. Be charitable as a Christian. Be encouraging and all that. Just don't leave a cocked pistol laying around loaded. Right? Bible says there in Proverbs 26:8, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Now, I've said this. I've said that honor often is given to fools. I have said that honor is a coveted prize of fools. Now, I want to say somebody's going to come along and use the fool. Somebody's going to come along and use the pistol. Again, I'd recall to your mind this thing about the sling and the pistol. I mean, remember, Goliath was just as dead after David slung the stone as if he had shot him in the head with a .44 Magnum, right? Those 700 men of Benjamin could sling left-handed stones at a hair's breadth, kill somebody or cripple somebody. And that's the point. If you leave a loaded sling around, somebody knows how to use it, and somebody that knows how to use it may come along and use it. If you load a pistol, cock it, leave it on the table, somebody's going to come along somewhere. Maybe your three-year-old, but somebody's going to come along and use that pistol. So when you load a fool, somebody's going to get hurt. I want you to know that somebody's going to use that fool. Now, I wonder who might be interested in using a fool. Here I'm thinking about Balaam. Balaam got into all kinds of mischief, right? He was called by the Lord's enemy to come down and curse Israel. I wonder who might be interested in that little scenario. I wonder who might come and jump in that situation and maybe use that cocked pistol. Know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about, again, a pastor going in somewhere and rather being a novice and therefore being lifted up with pride and falling into the condemnation of, I wonder who might be interested in using a fool that's been loaded and cocked and left laying around. Right? That could be your kid. It could be some movie star. It could be somebody that you give control over your life. It could be your friend. It could be a friend that you've decided you're going to be loyal to and confide in and trust no matter what their behavior is, no matter how reliable they are, right? You have loaded a fool and somebody's going to get hurt. I'm thinking about somebody right now whom I read a little bit about. Everything that I can figure out, this guy is the son of two fools. By their lifestyles, by their culture, by their politics, by their morals, I have concluded this guy's two parents were fools. This guy then grew up basically with a silver spoon in his mouth. He has never placed his hands on a hoe or a shovel, ever. He was a senator for a brief time, but never went and sat in his seat and did any voting or anything. But we have now, I say we loosely, we have now honored him with the desk of the presidency of the United States. This man is a loaded pistol. He is a loaded and cocked pistol. He is a fool that's been given honor way above his head. This guy is an empty suit. And if you don't like my politics, I'm really sorry. But this guy is an empty suit. He's never done anything in his life. You say, he was a community organizer. So he sold Girl Scout cookies? Was that it? This guy's never done anything in his life. I doubt seriously he's ever done a day's hard labor in his life. I think before you become president of the United States, you should at least do one day of hard labor on the end of a hoe or a shovel or an axe or something. I'm thinking about, now this is the first is a little dated. You remember Britney Spears? Remember how she was exalted, folks? This was, 12, 15 years ago. She was exalted as this virginal, pure, Christian girl who was just making a living, making it big, doing right and being moral and stuff, even though she was doing nasty dancing and rock and roll music, right? You remember how that turned out? I wonder how many kids followed down the road she went. I wonder how many kids envied her. I wonder today how many kids envy the life of Taylor Swift. Now, I wouldn't know a song that Taylor Swift sings if it walked up and hit me in the face, but I just happen to know the name. There are a lot of kids that are really, really carried away with Taylor Swift. Now, you know what, folks? When you give them fame, when you give them that kind of spotlight, her parents should be knocked in the head, right? Because what you do is you load a fool, and that fool's going to wind up ruining somebody else's life. Did you know that? I think about a parent again now who's spoiled a kid out beyond where that kid should be spoiled. Maybe it's not about money. Maybe it is about money, but maybe it's not about money at all. Maybe it's about every time the kid gets in a conflict with somebody else, their kid's always right. No matter what. I mean, like I said, if little Jimmy came and kicked me in the knee, the question is never asked, what did you do to little Jimmy? Because my kid is always right. I'm thinking about a parent who defends that kid at all costs against all comers. And folks, sadly, I've known fine Christians, quote-unquote fine Christians that did that, right? A Sunday school teacher that had to reprimand somebody's kid is promised getting it in the neck by mom or dad within the hour. I've seen that so many times, folks. I'm thinking about a parent who panders to every whim of that kid. Everything that kid says is right. They believe everything that comes out of the kid's mouth. And eventually, what sometimes happens, not all the time, the kid is given their own TV in their own bedroom. They have their own computer with unlimited access. They have their own car when they're 17 or 18, and they have their own cell phone, of course. That kid is a cocked pistol waiting to go off. Now, I've said that honor is often given to fools. I've said that honor is a coveted prize for fools. And I've said somebody is going to use that fool. I want to say, fourthly, verse 8, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a field. I want you to know somebody's going to get killed. I mean, David, in the hands of David, a rock and a piece of rawhide was a deadly instrument. And those 700 sons of Benjamin, those rocks and those little pieces of rawhide, those were deadly instruments. I want you to know that in the hand of the devil, any of this is a deadly instrument, right? And again, I'm making the point here that a fool in 1000 B.C. did not cut quite the swath of a fool in 2010. There's just too much access to too many things. Your folks, I mean, when you stop and think about how many people do I know? I'm not a huge computer guy, but I have 200 people in my address book on email. And I don't even blog, much less do I tweet. God help me if I ever tweet. Seriously, Lord help me if I ever start tweeting. I hope you'll stop me. Just shoot me. Just shoot me with a loaded pistol, all right? But, I mean, when you stop and consider the access that any one individual has today of damage that they can do to somebody else and themselves, we cut a much wider swath today than we did in 1000 B.C. A fool is dangerous. That's why he's not just a loaded sling anymore. He's a loaded cocked pistol. And I want you to know, if you're not careful, somebody is going to get killed. I mean, Eli's sons made a tremendous mess, right? And it was because Eli did not keep them disciplined. He did not keep them under. He gave too much honor to his sons. They were fools, and they became in time a loaded sling. Stop and think about Amnon. Stop and think about Absalom. Here is David, guilty over this terrible sin that he's done. And when Amnon commits the great tragic sin against Tamar, what does David do? Nothing. Nothing. Right? In so doing, he is saying it's okay what he did. And saying it's okay what he did, he is honoring a fool's actions. In honoring that fool's actions, he's promising himself somebody's going to get killed down the line. Sure enough, Amnon did get killed down the line. Absalom killed him. And then when David did not deal with Absalom correctly, guess what happened? Absalom became a problem. In time, Absalom caused a war and a bunch of people died. Right? My point is, if you're going to load and cock the fool, somebody's going to get killed. Somebody will. You know, stop and think about how many sons of kings became king themselves in Judah and in Samaria. You stop and think about those line of kings, there's just not that many that strike you as being very good kings, right? Because they weren't. I mean, Manasseh was terrible. Amnon was terrible. You can go right down the line, one after another. For every one good king, David, Hezekiah, a handful of others part of the time, Josiah, there were two or three more that were absolute debacles as kings. Right? Why? Because they were given the honor of the kingdom. They themselves were not honorable. They themselves were fools. They made a terrible mess. They led Israel into apostasy, into idolatry, and let them do what they wanted to do. They were cocked, loaded pistols. Here are scholars trained to correct the Bible, right? And they are so honored to be able to sit in a university seat and be able to teach young people. They are so honored by your money that you send your kids to Bible school with. And I know maybe you don't, but you send your kids to Bible school. They are so honored. They are so honored to serve on this Greek faculty with Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. And Dr. So-and-so has 3 doctorates. And they are so concerned about how Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so perceive them, they would never in 1,000 years teach your students what's right. Because they've been trained to change the Bible. They've been changed to train the Bible. They've been trained to change the Bible. They've been trained to change the Bible. they have been loaded into a sling, and as fools, they are essentially a cocked, loaded pistol. Now, I got thinking about this just the other day as I was leaving for a prayer meeting last night. Been working on this sermon for a couple hours, and then in verse 8, I got thinking again. Now, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Now, I don't intimately know the parts of a sling. There's a pouch, right? And there's at least two rawhide strings. And so you sling this sling around and, right? So I would have said, I mean, I still think this is the primary thing, that, okay, this guy comes along and he's going to give honor to this fool. That's the same thing as putting a nice aerodynamic heavy stone in this pouch, in this sling. He's binding a stone in the sling. But then I got thinking about binding this stone. I got thinking, what if this guy really did a really nasty thing? Instead of just putting the stone in the sling where somebody that knows what he's doing can really do some damage, what happens if instead of just doing that, it actually means binding the stone in the sling? What happens if he takes string and not only does he place the stone in the pouch, but he ties the stone into the pouch? So this guy comes along, maybe he's going to do something good with his sling. Maybe he's going to kill a lion with his sling. He slings the sling and he goes like that, only the rock doesn't release out of the pouch. Instead, it comes back and swings around and hits him in the head. Whatever is the case, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed. And you know what? Balak loaded Balaam. You know what Balaam did? Balaam killed himself. David loaded Amnon and Absalom. In the end, Absalom rebelled against David. And when David tried to sling the stone came back and hit him in the head. Right? Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed. In the modern vernacular, I guarantee you, folks, I got firearms at my house. I guarantee you, if you leave a revolver laying around, loaded, and cocked, and leave it laying on the table, I'll guarantee you within 6 weeks, somebody, one of your kids, somebody, probably not within 6 weeks, probably within 6 hours, somebody's going to come along and there's going to be a disaster, right? Somebody's going to get hurt. One last thing. Look down in chapter 26, verse 8 again. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. I have to say at the end, and we've been talking about it off and on already, but blame has to be laid at the giver of honor. Now, the fool is blamable, right? But blame also has to be laid at the giver of honor. Because whoever's giving this honor is binding the stone in the sling. Somebody's going to get hurt. Whoever slings the stone, it's his fault. The fool is a fool, because, and it's his fault for being a fool. But somebody who gives honor to that fool and trains that fool to seek after that light, that parade, that confetti parade, that glory, he has to retain some blame for it himself, right? The modern psychological vernacular for that is being an enabler. You enable somebody. And you know, folks, sometimes if you're not careful, you enable fools. Like I said, the most scary thing, I guess, it's been said in various ways. I've read it 3 or 4 different times. But the real scary part is not President Barack Obama. The really scary part is that over 50% of the American people voted for that guy. That's the really scary part. Somebody gave honor to a fool. They are blamable. And I want you to know, folks, when it comes to these other things, I mean, when you send your kids off to Bible school somewhere, I know most of you are not inclined that way, the way some churches are. Sometimes all you're doing is enabling and empowering a fool sitting in some academic seat in that college to ruin your kid. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed. And you know, folks, when you're not prudent and objective and consistent with your own kids, you have to be careful, because you could be loading a pistol yourself, cocking the pistol, leaving it for somebody to use. Because your kids need you to be consistent. your kids need to make sure, you need to make sure your kids are accountable to you. If your kid's going to come tell you a story about what little Jimmy Joe did to him, you make sure that that's actually what happened. Some parents never ask the question. Some parents just take it that little Jimmy Joe is a dirty, rotten little scoundrel. Another Laura Ingalls. And my poor Nellie has been abused and exploited once again. Folks, just remember Nellie Olson. I mean, it's the girl that most of us grew up loving to hate, right? Remember Nellie Olson. Remember the shenanigans her mother pulled, if you ever watched Little House on the Prairie, right? And you remember that and think about it in your own lives. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Nellie Olson, sorry to say, she was a cocked, loaded pistol. And the fact that that was an actor's part in things is one thing. But there are a lot of folks out in this world that are a lot worse than that. There have been kids that have been born and reared in churches just like ours. And their parents have reared them under the umbrella of the Bible, but they've done no better job than Harriet Olson did with Nellie, because they've always given their little fools honor they didn't deserve. Love them, cherish them, but do not load and cock them. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, a lot of things said here tonight, probably a lot of other applications that I didn't make. Hope folks understand that we're just trying to nip something in the bud, not just in children, Father, but in our friendships, in all that we say and do. Father, we many times are given opportunity to say complimentary things about people. We give politicians our votes. We endorse certain things by our actions and by our words. Pray that you'd help us to be prayerful about making sure that we do not enable and empower fools. Pray you'd help us to make sure that we do not load slings with rocks that the devil can use. Father, may you help us not load and cock pistols and leave them sitting around. Father, pray that you'd bless the invitation here as the next few moments. We take some time to meditate and think about these things. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for a few minutes here. And I don't know if I've stricken a root of truth here tonight or not for you. I don't know if it has, how much application it actually has in your life as you perceive it. But if the Lord talked to you about this tonight, I pray you'd come and maybe have some dealings with Him here. The altar is still open. Anybody here is welcome to stay. Let's turn, though, to number 328 and stand and sing. 328.
let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you tonight for letting us be here today. And we appreciate your goodness to us in that way. Appreciate these faithful folks that come and hear the Word of God all the time and try to put it into a play in their lives. Pray tonight, Father, you'd remember Lori up in the hospital. They're still trying to make a diagnosis of exactly what's going on with her. We hope the news might be good, Father. We're glad that she got there in time for plenty of help. And we pray that you'd guide the doctors in their wisdom to do the right thing. Now, Father, there's lots of folks that need our prayers. We think about Mark and Lori. We think about Nancy Grimmer. We think about Wendy. There are other folks, Father. We think about Brother Grissom's grandfather who's on his deathbed pretty much. And, Father, in all these things, we pray that you would be honored. And may you give Christians comfort in these things. And may through it all, somebody get saved by all this thing, all these things that are going on. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks. Thanks for coming today.